Good singing. I like these new groups. I like, we got some other new groups that's going to sing here before long, and looking forward to that. Appreciate what God has done. Look what God done. He done great things, ain't he? All right. Well, we're going to have a special preacher tonight. You trust me? I do my best to try to give us what we need. I'm only interested in pleasing the Lord. But by doing so, I want to help us to grow closer to the Lord. And then if there's somebody not saved, to get them saved. My job as your preacher, as your pastor, as your preacher, is to feed you. Would that be correct? Would that be biblically correct? I believe the scripture says for me to feed the flock. Is that right? So I need to make sure that you get fed the proper nutritious things that'll help you to grow. All right? Now, I could have preached this message myself, but it would have been pleasurism. And I did not want to preach somebody else's message. All right? Although the truth would have been there, I didn't want to do that. So, several years ago, I had you listen to Doug Fisher on a Sunday night. Well, tonight we're going to listen to Kenny Baldwin.
Oh, yes. Amen.
All right. And I want you to listen carefully. 2 weeks ago, I listened to him preach at Taze Valley. And the message was what I felt like was for us, as we've been teaching and preaching on the church, preaching about us being part of the body, our part, what we're supposed to be. And I want you to listen tonight. Now, I know this is odd. Now, this is not because I haven't studied. This is not a fill-in. Everybody understand that? This is not to get out of preaching. It's to help you. All right? This is to help you. And it helped me. And I want it to help me again. All right? I want it to help me again. So, Hannah, you need to make sure that things turned up light and make sure you stay on one of the screens, okay? Because this is on Facebook as well. And I want you to listen. Now, we're not stealing no rights to nothing. This is Big John Smith Church. It was his jubilee. And it was, I got to listen to all of it on the phone. And it was well worth it. I think Maria was there at least once. Trista was there at least once. And some others. But is everybody okay with that tonight?
Yes.
If you'll humor me and listen. And after Kenny preaches, then we'll continue on. Now, we're not going to preach again. That ain't what I'm meaning. But I don't want you to get nervous, okay? I think a message is going to be about 30. You can wait for 37 minutes, can't you? All right? And that'll be quicker than I'm going to preach anyway. So, okay? Something like that. But I want you to listen. But I want you to listen intently. All right? And I want you to take it just like he's standing right here in this pulpit. All right? And I believe Kenny Baldwin to be a man of God. I believe him to preach the Bible. I believe him to stand upon the Word of God. And he's being attacked really hard right now. And we need to pray much for him. But I want you to listen. Everybody okay?
Yes.
All right. Now, I've put this on Jeremy today. And so if there's any flaws, it'll be on me. All right? I take credit for any of the mistakes. All right? So, be patient with Jeremy. And do the lights as you see necessary. Can everybody see all right? With the lights the way they are, you need them turned off. Turn them off.
Exodus chapter number 21. Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back? No, you're asleep. You didn't say anything. I guess it doesn't matter if you're asleep, if you hear me. You probably don't want to hear me. I might wake you up, all right? If you can hear me, would you say amen?
Amen.
I spent all these years breaking sound systems. You know, they used to go in and break, bust out speakers and all this thing. And now they're trying to figure out how to get me heard. How different life can change in the matter of a moment. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't change? Amen.
Yeah.
Exodus 21. Are you there in the Word of God? First word in verse number one is what? Just wanted to see what kind of Bible you had. All right, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl.
Lowe's and Home Depot both can't stand when you do this, but there's nothing they can do to stop you. This new $80 jet pressure accelerator harnesses the...
And he shall serve him forever. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus,
God, trust.
I pray, God, that you would take me as your vessel.
Yes.
Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I understand that the arm of flesh will fail me, but as we've heard sung tonight, Jesus never fails. I pray that you will take the word of God, serve it on the table of the hearts of everyone in the building, those listening in by way of social media or live stream, and that you would help us to eat and be filled and strengthened to live the godly, victorious Christian life. I pray, God, that you'll bind the devil, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way the devil would hinder the Holy Ghost of God. And I pray, God, that you would move in us in a way like only you can. Now, God, tonight, would you watch over my wife and my family while I'm gone? Pray for my son and my daughters, my wife. Pray for my son in Georgia. Pray for my son preaching tonight in Wisconsin. Pray for my son in Tennessee. Watch over all of... I can't do that from West Virginia, but I'm glad you can. Take me back to them as safe and sound as they were when I saw them last. Tabernacle with us for just a little while. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I would venture to say there are men and women in the building tonight who are unashamedly proud to say you're retired. Would you raise your hand? You are retired. Look at all them people. We can't stand y'all. Listen to me. Somebody said to me today, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm retired. And then he spent the next 20 minutes telling me, basically, I do whatever I want to do. That's except for the honeydew list, right? Retirement. There are some people in my church who are counting down their days to retirement. They've said to me, Pastor, in 1 year, I'm going to be retired. I can remember others who said, in 6 months, I'm going to be retired. In 3 months, I'm going to be retired. In two months, I'm going to be retired. I can remember them saying, in 1 month, I'm going to be, and then they say, you know what, I got enough sick leave, I'm retired now. You know what I'm saying? They've been looking forward to the day of retirement. What they're saying is, from the moment I started there, from the first time I engaged in employment at that place, I was looking forward to the day when I finally didn't have to work anymore. Nobody telling me what to do. Nobody telling me when to come in. No permission for when to leave. Nobody running my life. I don't need to take a vacation. I'm living a vacation. I'm not punching a clock. I'm not working a salary. Nobody is running my life. I'm going to be retired. I've looked forward to it from the day I started working. It's here. I've arrived. I'm done and I'm free. Some of you are there. Some of you are getting there. And some of you kids haven't even gotten a job yet. But listen to me. We're all looking forward to retirement for the day that we are free. It just makes sense. And yet we're here in Exodus 20.
My work is easy because I use ClickUp. Here's how I keep track of all my tasks. I start by brain dumping everything I need to get done.
And here is a man who has begun working, and without a doubt, from the very first day, he's longing for the seventh year in which he will be free. In that day, no one will tell him what to do. No one will tell him where to go. No one will tell him what to say. No one will tell him where to stay. He will get up and go where he wants to. He will live how he wants to. He will do what he wants to. He will behave how he wants to. He will sleep in as long as he wants to. He will stay out as long as he wants to. After all, the law says, for 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free. I cannot imagine the countdown that must have started from the first day he started working. And I can't imagine on the morning when the seventh year begins how this fellow must feel, that the law makes a provision for me to be out of here. I don't have to work for anybody anymore. I am finally free. And yet this fella, with an anticipation of this day that is his right, comes to that point in his life and makes this statement. I will not go out free. I will not go out free. What's wrong with this man? Man, you've been working. This is the seventh year. What's wrong with you? You've been counting down. You've been anticipating it. You've been expecting it. You've been longing for it. You've been looking forward to it. It's here. It's here. It's yours. You just got to grab it. You just got to take it. You just got to claim it. It's yours. It's your right. And nobody will stop you. Freedom is at your disposal. And yet this fellow says, no, I have found a spot and I have found something. I'm somewhere I don't want to leave. I'm doing something I don't want to quit. I have found something in my life I don't want to give up. I've found something I'm doing I want to keep on doing. I could leave and it is my right. I could go and it is my choice. I could be out of here and nobody will stop me. But I ain't trying to be free. I'd rather be faithful. I don't know, the longer I live, the longer I pastor. I got saved when I was 4 years old, sure enough saved. By the grace of God, my daddy led me to the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home, in a pastor's home. I surrendered to preach when I was 9 years old. I walked into a rec center in the community where the church was at 16, and my heart got burdened for a generation of young people that grew up differently than how I grew up. And I started reasoning with God, why would you let these fellas wear their pants this way and smoke these drugs and these girls be pregnant at this age, and this generation of young people live in such filth and foolishness? Why don't you do something about it, God? And God said, won't you do something about it, Kenny? And I remember God dropping a burden on my heart to reach my generation. And I've had the joy. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. I've had the joy of serving God for all of my life. I wouldn't want to do anything else. But the longer I live, the longer I pastor, it seems like there's this breed of Christianity, if that's what you want to call it, that is trying to find a way to serve God as free as they possibly can. I want to live what I want to live, do what I want to do, say what I want to cuss how I want to. I want to drink what I want to. I want to smoke what I want to. I want to chew what I want to. And I want to run with those that do if I want to. I want to watch what I want to watch. I want to think what I want to think. I want to behave how I want to behave. I just want to be free. There's a generation of young people. They want to come to church, but they don't want to leave and live like Jesus when they go home from church. There's a generation of they're men that want to get married, but they don't want to be faithful to their wives. They're women that want a ring on their finger, but they don't want to be submissive to their husband. They're kids that want their parents to give them a great home, but they don't want to live in a way indicative of a, you know why? Because everybody wants this convenient, this Burger King, have it your own way kind of Christianity, to be free as you want to. I'm wondering, where are the servants like Exodus chapter 21 that said, I could, listen to me. You can leave this building tonight and watch what you listen. You can go back to the hotel and click on as much HBO as you want to.
Check out this screenshot of my credit score. Just a few months ago, it was in the low 500s. That all changed when I found this.
Sir, your wife can fall asleep and you can click on whatever website you want to. Teenager, you can leave this Jubilee with your hand up high, shout for Jesus, and go home tonight and live a completely different lifestyle if you want. But I wonder if there's somebody that's found a spot. I wonder if there's somebody that's found somebody that said, I could if I want to. It's at my disposal if I choose to. It's my right because I'm a human being. But I've decided I don't want to be free. I want to be faithful tonight. I wonder if there's a preacher tonight that says, I don't want to be free. I want to to be faithful tonight. Tonight I'd like to take this servant of Exodus chapter 21 and I'd like to interview him, because it just doesn't make sense in the 21st century for a guy with retirement in his right to turn it down. There's something that made him stay.
Yeah.
5 years from now, I still want to be serving God. Don't get quiet on me. 1 year from now, I'd still like to be married to the same woman. Amen. I'd still like to be pastoring the same church if that's what God wants me to do. I know some men that aren't pastoring because they wanted to be free. I know some teenagers that aren't in church anymore because they wanted to be free. I know some missionaries that aren't on the mission field because they wanted to be free. But bless God, I know some men that are still preaching. I know some couples that are still married. I know some young people that are still serving God. I know some churches that are still doing what God has called them. You know why? They turned down freedom and instead decided to be faithful. I wonder if there's anybody tonight saying, I want to be faithful tonight. I'd like to ask this fellow, why in the world did you turn down freedom? I think he'd say tonight, for all of us at the West Virginia Taze Valley Jubilee, I think he'd say, I stayed. I turned down freedom for faithfulness. Number one, because I have an incredible master. I think he'd say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says, verse 21, these are the judgments which shall set before them. If thou, it's talking to the master, not to the servant. If thou, it's telling the master who goes looking for the servant. I think the servant, which I'll tell you about my incredible master, he made an eager pursuit of me. I think the servant would say, I was stuck on the slave market. I couldn't leave the market and go look for a master. No. I was in bondage. I was on lockdown. I was locked up. I couldn't go find the master. No. The master came and found me. I think he'd say, he not only made an eager pursuit of me, he made an expensive purchase of me. If thou buy. He not only came looking for me, he thought enough of me to pay something for me. I wasn't worth much to me. I wasn't worth much to others, but I was worth something to the master. Enough for him to put down something for me. I think he'd say he made an eager pursuit of me. He came looking for me. He made an expensive purchase of me. He bought me. I think he'd say he's given extensive provisions to me. I think the servant would say, I got adequate food at the master's house. I got an abundant fortune at the master's house. I got an amazing family at the master's house. I got awesome fulfillment at the master. I think that servant would say, you think I'm crazy for staying? I think I'd be crazy to leave. You think I'm crazy for working for him? I wouldn't want to work for nobody else. You think I'm crazy for still hanging around? I couldn't imagine hanging out anywhere else. You think I should leave? I think it would be dumb if I don't stay. Why? I have an incredible... Wait a minute now. I think there might be some teenager in the building that's thinking, as soon as I turn 18, I'm up out of here. I'm done with church. I'm done with Christianity. I'm done with youth groups. I'm done with parents looking at my phone. I'm done with the youth pastor all up in my... I'm up out of here. I'm going to do me and live how I want. Maybe there's a husband that just thinks this Christian marriage thing is too strict. You can't lust and you can't click on it and you can't go there. And the pastor's always preaching about godly men. And maybe there's a Christian in the building that doesn't really like one of those sanctified, sin-hating, Bible-preaching, teaching churches. And you like to go down the road to one of them free churches where you can come as you are and leave as you... Maybe you got your eyes out the window looking for freedom. Kind of remind you of something. You have an incredible master. He made an eager pursuit of you. Listen to me. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye are healed. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him
might be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my mouth. Now that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son. Aren't you glad when you couldn't go to the Master, that the Master came to you? When you couldn't find him, he came and found you. When you weren't looking for him, he was looking for you. He not only made an eager pursuit of you, he made an expensive purchase of you. For as much as you own, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What know ye not? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. When there was no rose red enough, there was no lamb white enough, there was no man good enough, God bankrupt heaven, as we heard, and sent his only Son to hang and bleed and suffer. Aren't you glad when nobody thought anything of you, when the world says you're worthless, and even your own flesh tells you to take your own life? Aren't you glad you had a Master who not only came looking for you, but he purchased you? And by the way, he's given provisions for you. Come on now, you get your food from the Master. You get your family from the Master. You got your fortune from the Master. You get your fulfillment from the Master. Oh, that old black gospel song, they got it right when they said, I've been lied on, cheated, talked about, mistreated. I've been buked at, scorned, run down, sure as you're born. I've been up, down, and almost to the ground. But as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. You're looking out the window tonight? We have an incredible Master. To whom shall we go? I think he'd say, I have an incredible Master. Secondly, I think he'd say, I have an intense motivation.
When you can use a little fatherly advice.
It's okay. All right, I'm here for you.
Don't take slow for an answer.
I think this fellow would say, you know, staying here is a pretty sensible decision. Look at verse number 3. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. Verse 4. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, and the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. I'm reading fast and probably talking fast. But basically, the rule was pretty simple. You can leave, but you can only take what you had when you came. Go ahead with your bad self. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Fine. Take all of the stuff you brought when you arrived. And the record shows you came with nothing. So since you want to tell me you're out of here, go ahead. But you can't take nothing that I gave you. Listen to me. The next time you want to put your finger up, I'm tired of old time. I'm tired of Christianity. I'm tired of New Testament Christianity. I'm tired of serving God. I'm tired of the rules of the Christian life. I'm tired of purity. I'm tired of morality. I'm tired of modesty. I'm tired of holiness. I'm tired. Well, go ahead with your bad stuff. But I'm telling you something. You walk away from Jesus, you're going to walk away from everything he's given. Come on now. Listen to me. The next time, I'm out of here. Listen to me. It's his spiritual to serve God. Yeah. It's godly to serve God. It's holy to serve God. It's righteous to serve God. It's a good thing to serve. But you know what? It's pretty sensible. It's pretty dumb not to serve God. Why in the world would I want to walk away from this? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing sometimes when I think about the blessings of God. Two of my boys were maybe three or four. We were traveling on vacation, and we pulled up at the resort or wherever we were staying, and got the cart and took the luggage up to the room and pushed the cart in the room and opened the door, and the kids ran into the room. The boys got into the hotel room on vacation, and they went looking around the room, came back and said, Daddy, where's the fruit basket?
I said, they don't give us those on vacation. When your children associate a hotel room with a fruit basket, you have lived in the goodness of God. The world don't even know what a fruit basket is. Come on now. Come on. We act like we're doing God a favor serving him. Oh, I'm out here at this conference. God ought to be glad I come up here for evening and morning service. And you ought to be glad he reached down into the muck and mire and the debauchery and the depravity of sin when you were doomed and dead and damned and disobedient and devilish and borderline and demonic. God reached down and saved you. You ain't doing God a favor. God did you an unmerited favor when he saved. Save your soul. Listen to me tonight. We ought to have an intense motivation. It is a sensible decision to serve God. It is also a stated declaration. Notice what he said. And if the servant, verse number 5, shall plainly say.
Okay, let me just split screen this using the fancy Opera browser. Yeah, let's just buy both. Link below to download it for free.
I love my master. Now I love the food, and I do. I love the house, and he should. I love the pay, and it was good. I love the insurance. Ain't nothing wrong. But listen, loving that stuff won't keep you serving. I'm glad you love the choir member. I'm glad you love the nursery worker. I'm glad you love the bus route bus worker. I'm glad you love the security team, security worker. I'm glad you love the cleanup team, cleanup work. I'm glad you love the children's church, children's worker. I'm glad you love picking up the offering usher. I'm glad you love working with the other staff members. But that stuff will get old after a while. The only thing that will ensure that you'll still be here 10 years from now, you got to love your master. 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 I grew up in a preacher's home. I saw my daddy get up. I came down the steps every morning with that office door closed. He was on his knees for every. I remember traveling on vacation, coming back, driving through the night on vacation where we chose not to stop. I remember stopping somewhere and moving to the front seat and my mom moving from the passenger seat to the driver's seat and my dad going to the back seat so we could keep driving because we were still in the car on vacation during his prayer time. He was in the back seat of the car on his knees praying because he was so, you know, you don't do that because you're trying to impress the brethren. They ain't in the car. You do that because you love your, I wanted something like that. I wanted something. And I remember when it clicked into my mind, I can't do this for mama. I can't do this for daddy. I can't do this because grandmama said my head is shaped like a preacher. I've got to do this because I love my master. I love my, listen, not like I should, not like I will when I see him face to face, but I want to tell you, I'm not lying. If I am, God kill me. I want to say, I'm not here tonight because my daddy's a preacher. I'm not here tonight because my mama beat the devil out of me. I mean, I'm not in jail because she did it, but I'm not here tonight because my mama beat the, I'm not here tonight because somebody made me. I'm not here tonight because I want my picture on the flyer. I'm not here tonight because I want a love offering. I'm here tonight because somewhere between that 4-year-old boy getting saved and that 9-year-old boy surrendering to preach and that 16-year-old teenager surrendering his life for us, somewhere over that time, I fell in love with my master. I love my master. I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you read your Bible. I'm not asking you if you're in a ministry. I'm asking you if you love your master. Number 3, and I'm finished. I think he'd say, I have an incredible master. I have an intense motivation. I think this fellow would say tonight, I'll take an identifying mark.
This one easy trick will save you thousands when buying a used car. Did you know that some dealerships will clear the check engine codes off?
I love my master. I love you, master. I love you, master. I love you, Lord, for
for your mercy never fails me. I love you, Lord. I love you, Master. I'm not leaving. I love you, Master. Master, I love you. If he shall plainly say, I love my Master. Notice, it never says in the text, if the Master shall plainly say, you ain't leaving. If the Master shall plainly say, I can't believe after all I've done for you, you walk away from here. It never says that. It says, if the servant shall plainly say, you know what that means? Staying was a matter of owned prerogative. No master made the servant stay. Every servant stayed because he wanted to. Stop blaming why you don't serve God on your pastor, your upbringing, your mama, your daddy, your trauma, your experiences, your crises. What does that have to do with your master? Come on now. You don't serve God because you've chosen not to serve God. And you will serve God when you decide to. It's an owned prerogative. I love you, Master. I love you, Master. I love you, Master. I guarantee you there were a lot of servants that told the master he loved his master. But then the master, after hearing that, said to him, come here. Let's go to the judges. Yeah. Now that you've told me, let's make it public. From own prerogative, we move to open publicity. Then he shall take him to the judges. I wonder if there were some servants along the way that when the master said, good, I'm glad you love me and I'm glad you're willing to tell me. Let's go put it on record at the courthouse. I wonder how many servants would have said on that time, on second thought. I found out there are a lot of people that tell Jesus they love him directly, but they won't say it in public. They won't say it on social media. They won't say when they get around their friends. They'll say it at the Jubilee. They won't say it at the job. Come on. They'll say it around their Christian family. They won't say it at their family reunion. They'll say it at communion, but they won't say it when they got that red cup. Somebody help me preach. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, maybe this Jubilee needs to get some Christians to bust up out of the witness protection plan and let somebody else besides yourself know you actually do love Jesus. It's the own prerogative always segues to open publicity and then from the courthouse. It then turns to obvious pain. Now that you've pledged it for the record, come here. Bring your ear with you. Let's take an awl. Let's put a hole in your ear. Do you think it hurt? You know what generation we're living in? We're living in a generation of Christians that want to inherit Christianity because Jesus got hurt, but they don't want to get hurt for Jesus. I don't want to lose no friends. I don't want to get talked about. Don't tell me that serving Jesus means I've got to skip practices that are on church service nights and lose my starting position. Don't tell me I've got to pass on a promotion that'll take me away from church. Don't tell me that I've got to get laughed at by my own blood relatives. Don't tell me it might cost me, I might have to drink McDonald's instead of Starbucks so I can give to missions. Don't get quiet on me. We don't want to hurt. Want to hurt? Listen to me. You tell me where in town that fella could go without somebody seeing that hole in his ear. When he went grocery shopping, they said, oh, well, yeah, he works for him. Man, he went out there to just play with his kid. Oh, man, I can tell he's marked. He's just out in the yard taking care of the grass. They could tell, yeah, I know who he works for. Hey, listen to me. Some of us ought to quit shouting out loud for Jesus up in here and then going out in public and covering our ear. I don't want nobody to know. I'm talking about them napkin drop prayers. Drop the napkin and pray while you've been down to pick, bless my food and nurse your strength. I wonder if anybody's willing to take the mark. I said, take the mark. See, you can't take the mark for Jesus undercover.
Somebody's tapping out tonight. Come on now. Somebody's tapping out tonight. Oh, you got a good master. You were cool with it. You were cool with it as long as it meant telling him, pledging it at the courthouse. But this hole in the ear stuff.
Germans have figured out a way to increase water pressure by 15 times without using any energy.
That's when a lot of people tap out. I've told this story and I'll keep telling it. I was traveling some preaching. I was traveling a lot in preaching. And I was single. And that meant that everywhere I went, somebody was trying to matchmake me. And I didn't like it. I really didn't. It's really bad when you're a black man traveling independent Baptist churches and predominantly white churches and they're trying to matchmake you. They got one black girl in the whole church. They don't care what she look like. They can't do nothing with her, and here I come in town. And then I get there and I see her and I say, I can't do nothing with her either. I ain't your man. My wife's probably watching us. She said, I can't believe you said that. She said, you say everything that comes to your mind. I say everything on everybody else's mind too. But I had made a commitment to reach my generation at 16. And I'd made a commitment to stay pure until I got married. Amen. And that made the options real small. My daddy said, we're going down to Laverne, Alabama. That's where they're having a conference. And I said, where's Laverne? He said, it's where we're going. Do you know I've preached for all these years? I was just preaching last week somewhere, and I brought up Laverne, Alabama, to a man that's from Alabama, and he said, I've never heard of Laverne. I'm serious. I walked into Laverne, Alabama, and there was a conference there. There was a pastor from Atlanta, Georgia, and he, his wife, and his family, they were there ministering that night, singing, and his daughter was up there singing. And I don't know that I met her, but I like what I saw. Hubba hubba. A couple months later, I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia. That man, his wife, and his daughter showed up. A month later, I was preaching again, or so, in Atlanta. They showed up again. She was stalking me. And then, after the third time of seeing me, her daddy said, I'd like to invite you over for dinner. I said, what you cooking? He said, ribs. I said, what's your address? You offer a black man ribs, I don't even need to pray about it. Amen. Somebody said, you know Adam wasn't black. You'll never get a rib from him. Anyway, so I went over to the house. Somebody said, yes, he was black. God had to put him to sleep to take it. But anyway.
State of Survival has prepared an amazing treehouse shelter for you, where even in an apocalypse, you can have a vacation vibe.
I got to the house, and I was sitting down with her daddy, and we were just talking. I've had no conversation with her up to this point, unless a sentence or so. I'm talking to her daddy. She was in the kitchen with her mom, but it was, you could see there was no division between where we were eating and where the kitchen was. I was watching her. She helping her, mom, you need something else? She picked up and then she's doing the dishes and she, what else you need, mama? What you need me to do? And she come, here's the food for you all. She never say nothing. Just, hey, y'all need anything? Can I get your cup for you? Walk back, mommy, you need anything else? Her daddy said, hey, Bethany, get this right here. Oh, yes, sir. Come in now. Walk in. Some of y'all missing what I'm saying. Listen, I hadn't even had a conversation with her, but I could tell by watching how she worked with her parents, she had a mark in her ear. You could just tell. She was marked. She never came. But you got to watch these girls nowadays. I mean, you don't have to chase a girl. Now the girls will chase you. Not this one.
She was marked. Could I tell you, my wife loved Jesus before she ever loved me. Several years ago, we were looking through old books in the house, and we found her Bible from when she was 12 or 13. I wish you could see it. I wish you could see the verses she had marked about modesty and morality and loving God and the kind of wife she wanted to be and how she marked up Proverbs 31 and Ephesians chapter 6, obeying her parents and honoring her father and mother and memorizing scripture and praying and reading the Bible. Could I tell you something? There's a reason why I'd never been to Laverne. She'd never been to Laverne. We were both in Laverne. We ain't never been back to Laverne. But thank God somebody helped me preach. I'm telling you, I took a mark. She took a mark, and now in nearly 25 years, we've been serving God. Mark, some of you looking for a wife, you're trying to find her on her shape, on her eyes, on her complexion, on her color, on her GPA, on her nationality. You better look for somebody that's taken a mark, and you better take the mark yourself. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to be marked. They say, don't go all in. You better be careful. Don't. This Christian life, you know, you, especially now, they get worried about me. I've got this long COVID, and so, Pastor, be careful. Slow down. Don't do to, you need to take your time. You need to get rest. And I understand, we got to take care of our bodies, don't we? But I'll put all my eggs in the basket. I'm telling you, Brother Dale, if I flop out this preaching thing, I don't know how to do nothing else.
This is how to get in shape fast.
If you want to drop this,
start eating more of these.
This is all I know.
Yes, sir.
I don't want anything else.
Amen.
I love my master.
Amen.
He's been good to me.
Yes, sir.
Could you imagine the wife and three precious children gathering at the dining room table at night? Mommy, what's for dinner? Let's pray over the food, kids. 5-year-old, 3-year-old, 1-year-old maybe. She says, when we pray over the food tonight, let's pray for something else. What are we praying for, Mommy? Let's pray Daddy comes home. What do you mean? Well, the rules say that as of today, Daddy doesn't have to come home. You see, he's been working for his master for 7 years. And if he wants to, he can leave tonight. Let's pray he comes home. Oh, Mama, we want Daddy to come home. I want him to come home, too. Let's pray he does. Can you see Mama and three children holding hands, praying their dad, her husband, comes home? Can you imagine as the door makes a sound from where he's entering and where they are, and he walks into the dining room and says, I'm home, family. She gets up and embraces her husband, and three precious children run to the embrace of their father. Daddy, we're so glad you came home. We weren't sure. Your mommy said you didn't have to come home. There was never a question in my mind, honey. Never any question in my mind, kids. I never thought twice about leaving this morning. You see, I love my master. I love my wife. And sir, do you really want to lose your marriage over some fling? Do you really want to give up your vows over some pornography? Kid, do you want to waste your future over some crazy church member? You really want to forfeit your blessings over some fake me out church? Do you really want to give away your heritage over some laced up silver platter that only ends in misery? Are you kidding me? Somebody's waiting for you to come home. Some church is depending on you to come back from this jubilee on fire from God, for God. Some family is depending on you to get something from God when you mount the pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night. Phooey with all of this faithfulness. Let's find some Christians in the building tonight that say, phooey with all this freedom. Let's find some Christians in the building tonight to say, I could be free. It's my right to be free. I don't want to be free. I want to be faithful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I believe we can readily see how we can use that. Yes. So Cheryl, we go to piano. And that's no different him sitting here on a stool preaching behind this pulpit.
That's right.
I'm going to ask you tonight, you want to be free or faithful? You want to be free or faithful? That's the message. Young people, mighty men, boys, y'all want to be free or faithful? Girls, y'all want to be free or faithful? What do you want? Us old heads, what do we want? Free or faithful? Not time to retire. I know we've been at it a long time, but there's no time to retire. Free or faithful? God help us to be faithful.
Just as